Impromptu is not my middle name. And so, but I just, as I was driving to and from home, I felt like the Holy Spirit was stirring some things in me. And so I was not texting them. I was talking to them. Y'all know the difference, right? Into your phone. And so I just want to share with you a couple of things tonight. I feel like that I need to give you this was terminology that we used, give you a heads up. Does everybody know what that means? Just a heads up, let you know what's going on. And how many of you know that it's important to know where we're at and what's going on in the spirit realm? We need to know. There's a scripture, and I'm going to have to be going back and forth between these. There's a scripture in 1 Chronicles 12:32, and it talks about some people who were from the tribe of Issachar. And the unique thing about the people from the tribe of Issachar, it says they were men, or they were people who had an understanding of the times. They had an understanding of the times, and because they had an understanding of the times, they knew what to do. How many of you know that if we can understand the season that we're in, we can participate with the season? Many times we get frustrated in our spiritual walk and in our life because we're working against what it is that the Holy Spirit's trying to do. And we need to be people that are spiritually in tune, people that know spiritually what season that we're in. How many of you know we're in a spiritual season right now? As a church, and let me say this, as a church, we're in a spiritual season. There are seasons in the spirit like there are seasons in the natural. There's a time to till up the ground. There's a time to plant. There's a time to tend to what you've planted. There's a time to fight off the beast, right? There's a time to believe and watch and wait and see it grow. There's a time to harvest. But how many of you know harvest time ain't all the time? And there's other seasons that we have to be participating in. And so as believers, if we think that we should be in harvest time all the time, then we're deceived. How many know there's a time to plant and there's a time to harvest? So as a church, we're in season. And the church goes through different seasons. And in times past, there's been people that would come to the leadership of the church and they would say that it was time for them to check out and to move on. And they began to name for us the reasons why they would be moving on. But generally, the reason why people were wanting to move on was because they didn't recognize the season and they didn't want to participate with the season. How many of you know we need to be in tune with what God is doing? We want to follow the Holy Spirit. Now, God can always lead people away to other churches. I'm not saying that, but do you follow what I'm saying? Just because I don't like where we're at or where we're going, how many of you know we want God to take this thing where it needs to go? And so the church is in a season. What does that mean? It means you and I are in a season, because who's the church? We are the church. We are the church. The church doesn't go through a season that's isolated from the sheep or the people. And so God is what God wants to do in the church. He's got in his house. How many of you know he's got to do in my house? 2 years ago, God told me at the beginning of the year, this was my word for the year. It wasn't very, sometimes I don't get the real spiritual words. You know what I'm saying? He just told me, get my house in order, get my house in order. He showed me the three houses. This house, how many of you know this is the temple? This house, get this house in order, then get my house in order, me, my wife, my kids, my house in order. And how many of you know if I get this house and we get that house, how many of you know it'll cause this house to come in order? So we're in a season, and we need to be people that understand the times so that we can participate and work with and not against the seasons. It's been spoken over our church, and we believe it, that there is a season of harvest coming. There is a season of harvest coming. How many of you know and believe that there is a season of harvest coming? If it's coming for the church, it means it's coming for the people in the church, right? A season of harvest. But it's also been spoken over our church that before the season of harvest begins, that the foundations of this church have to be strengthened and they have to be widened. They have to be strengthened and they have to be widened. Because how many of you know, there's a scripture, and I don't have it, but it in the New Testament where it talks about the fact that an expert builder or a wise builder first lays the right foundation before he begins to build. Because anything that's going to going to go up has to be on a solid foundation or it won't last. How many of you know that God is the wisest of all builders? And he's not going to build something out here that's going to collapse and destroy people's lives. He's not going to saddle us with something that we can't carry. So what he wants to do is he is going down first before he can go up. How many of you know that's what God's doing? He's going down so that he can go up. See, if we know what's going on, how many of you know it keeps us encouraged? It keeps us in line. It keeps us in faith. With what God is doing in the church and in your home, it is a time where God is going down deep. God is going down deep. And so how do you do foundation repair? Foundation repair is all about going in and finding the weak places. The places within the foundation that can't withstand the pressure that's going to be placed on top of it. It's going after the weak places. How many of you sense that the Holy Spirit's going after some weak places in your life? How many of you know that can get ugly? You know, it's a house may look to be doing good, but if someone knows that the foundation is in disrepair, the house can look pretty. You can put a new coat of paint on it. You can repair the shutters. You can plant the shrubs out in the front yard. But if the foundation is bad, there's going to come a day where the thing is going to fall. And so we can fool the neighbors and make them think that everything is good and the foundation can be bad. But how many of you know God knows what our foundation needs? And we can trust him. How many know we can trust him? And if you've ever seen a foundation worked on, I'm definitely not a construction guy, but I've seen those guys do some amazing things with some amazing equipment. But they come in, and how many of you know that if they do foundation work, it looks worse before it looks better? It looks worse before it looks better. When they come in and they begin to tear down some things and tear out some things and remove some things and begin to jackhammer some things and begin to go after some cracks and some structural weaknesses in the foundation, it doesn't look good. It looks like it's a mess to the outsider. And so when that's taking place, if you don't know what's going on, it can be very discouraging. But if we know what's going on and we can know what God is up to and we can trust that he is in control and that we can surrender to the potter's hand, how many of you know that it's a good thing? And we can call good what God calls good, and we'll call bad what God calls bad, but we're not going to call the good work that God is doing in us bad. Amen. So we're in a season where God is going down because eventually he wants to take us up. Because like it or not, how many of you guys know that we are a part of a body that has a calling? We are a part of a spiritual family that has a destiny and an inheritance that our pastors are contending for. Now, there's places that you can go where people are just content to be the status quo and to be a social club or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Just make it on through life. But how many of you know that that is not the inheritance of this house? And since you're attached to this house, then you are a part of what it is that God wants to use to bring about the dreams and the visions that he has for this house. And so we are in a season where the hand of God is doing some deep things. He says, I'm going to deepen the foundations and I'm going to widen the foundations because what I intend to build on the foundation, it needs to happen so that it can withstand it. Can you say amen? So what's taking place in this house is also taking place in your house. Anybody sensed an increase in challenges? I'm going to say it that way. Anybody sensed an increase in warfare? On every front, everybody I talk to, and listen, I'm not one of those kind of people that believes there's a demon behind every bush, but I know we have enemies of darkness. And there is intensified warfare going on because not only do we sense and know that there's a harvest coming, our enemy senses and knows that a harvest is coming. And if you go back and you look at the story of Gideon, when Gideon was hiding out in the wine press and he was threshing wheat, the Midianites were marauders. They would come in right before harvest every year. They would come in right before harvest because they wanted to steal the harvest away from God's people. So they would be content after they had done that to go away for a while when it wasn't a season of harvest. But then they would come back when it got close to a season of harvest. How many of you know the enemy intensifies his attacks and his plans when we're getting close to a season of harvest in our life? So listen, we should be encouraged, not discouraged. We should be excited about the foundation repair people that are working round the clock in our lives and in our house. How many of you know? Because we're on the precipice of something big. We are on the precipice of something big. How many of you got things in your life you've been believing God for a long time? You hadn't seen them come to pass yet. How many know that big things aren't won overnight? Big battles aren't won overnight. It takes stick-to-itiveness. It takes diligence. It takes faith. It takes believing. It takes standing. And God is about to bring us into a new season. You heard an old-timey preacher say, he's going to pull us through if we can stand the pull. Right? He's going to pull us through if we can stand the pull. Let me go back to my notes. Let me say this, the only way out is through. Let me say that again. For people who are following God and who say, not my will, but your will be done. I'm not going to do it my way. The only way out is to go through it. You can't go around it, how they say. You can't go over it, can't go under it. Right? There are no shortcuts. There is no other way. There's God's will and there's God's way. And the only way to come out the other side is to go through it. But so many times when it starts getting tough, what we do is we climb off of the potter's wheel and we say, I've had enough, right? This hurts too much. This is too hard. I'm ready to give up. I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to throw in the towel, right? I'll walk away from my marriage. I'll walk away from my children. The battle's too long. I'm weary. But how many of you know that if we can't grow weary in well-doing, because in due season we'll reap if we don't faint. And this is a season, I don't have all the right words in my points laid out. This is a season of introspection. This is a season of looking inside ourselves. What does the Bible say? The Bible says to get the beam out of our own eye before we begin looking at the speck in the other person's eye. And there are things in all of our lives that we've normalized. There's things in all of our lives that we're blind to. There's things in all of our lives that are structural deficiencies in our foundation. There are things in all of our lives that we have been deceived by and we don't even know that they're there. But how many of you know the Holy Spirit loves us too much to leave it the way it is? And that if we say we're going to follow you, God, you be the cloud by day and the fire by night. We're going to follow you. We're going to go deeper. We want to be carriers of your presence. How many of you know we can only go so far until he does that work deep in our heart? And so God is doing a deep work. And how many of you know that not everybody's down for the deep work? Not everybody shows up for the work day, right? We'll show up for the hamburgers, but we may not show up for the work day, right? But in our lives, we really don't have a choice. If we say that we're going after God, then we can go to the side for a while. We can take the side street, but eventually, if we're going God's way, how many of you know we're going to come right back to where we were? Because God's not going to let those things in our lives be unresolved and undealt with. And I'm thankful that God is working in this house. Are you thankful that he's working in your house? I'm glad that he's working in my house. He's working. I hope he's working. With all that's going on, I hope he's working. Do you know what I'm saying? And I'm glad he's working in this house. Because he works all things together for our good. What the devil intended for disaster. Listen, it may not started off right. And I may not have made the right decision. And I may not have handled it right. And I may not even have seen it right. And what the devil intended for to be my demise and my destruction, God is going to turn it for good in Jesus' name. So we are in a season in our lives and in this church where God is working deeper things. And the only way out is through. I've only got a couple minutes. Let me go ahead. It's our choice. Let me say this. It's our choice to surrender or to run. It's our choice to surrender or to run. Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Jonah had things in his character. He had things in his heart. He had attitudes. He had prejudices. He had things in him that he didn't even see. And when God said, it's time for you to go to Nineveh, guess what he did? He wasn't going that way. So he ran. But how many of you know it didn't get good for him? Because God loved him, and he was a true son of God, and his heart was for God. And so the Holy Spirit kept after him until he got into a place where he was ready to listen. How many of you ready to listen? You ever prayed this prayer? I'm tired of going around this mountain. I'm ready to do it differently. I'm ready to see a change. I'm ready to see a breakthrough in Jesus' name. So it's up to us whether we want to surrender or to run, to participate with the potter or participate with the pruning process and the restructuring of our foundation. I believe this is what the Lord told me. He personally told me this, and I don't understand all this, but what he basically said as far as pruning goes, you know, a plant that will participate with the pruning, how many of you know that it can just be cut back? But if it's not willing and it rebels and it goes its own way, eventually it's got to be cut off. So God doesn't want to cut us off ever. And I don't mean cut off from going to heaven. You know what I'm saying? With what he wants to do in our lives. If we say we want to bear fruit in an area, then we have to be willing to let him entrust the vine dresser to put his shears on our life and identify the things in our life that need to change and that need to go. Can we do that with the vine dresser? So we want to participate with him. I just want to say this, that it's a time to be alert. Everybody say, be alert. It's a season of crossroads. It's a season of crossroads. I would say people that are pursuing the will, the purpose, plan, destiny of God for your life, for your family, for this house, it's a season of crossroads. A season of crossroads means that there's going to be opportunity to go on or to go aside. Does everybody follow what I'm saying? To go on through the intersection or to go aside. That choice is going to be left up to us. And the enemy is going to make sure that he sets us up in so many different ways because he doesn't want us to go on. But how many of you know that we can trust the Holy Spirit? We can surrender to the Holy Spirit. We can follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. That there will be a voice behind us that says, this is the way, walk ye in it. How many of you know? And that we can continue to move in the direction that God is leading us in Jesus' name. It's a season of crossroads. We have to understand that all of this stuff that's going on around us is not natural battles. How many of you know we have to be able to identify the real enemies in our lives? Our real enemies are not people. If you're frustrated with a person, then you got it wrong. You're looking at it wrong. Your perspective is wrong. How many of you know people are not our enemies? They never are. It's a crossroad. Whenever anything happens in our life, right, that causes us to get our eyes on people. How many of you know that as believers, we're not natural creatures, we're supernatural creatures. We don't walk in the natural, we walk in the spirit. And we have to pull ourselves up and we have to say that my wife is not my enemy. My son is not my enemy. My boss is not my enemy. I'm not going to get caught up in all the things that they do and that they don't do, but I will seek out the voice of the Holy Spirit to know what battle I need to be fighting and what spirit is driving this thing and come against that spirit. How many of you know we'd be a whole lot better off to go in our prayer closet, take authority over spirits before we go to work than we would to be talk about our boss and complain about the way things are and all that? How many know that? And how many of you would confess with me that you've been guilty of those things? But they don't change anything. We have to know that we're in a season where we have to take a step up, see it from God's perspective, and deal with it from God's perspective. I've only got 2 minutes. Let me finish up right here. Our kids are going to be coming in. See, the enemy is trying to have his way, and he wants to disqualify us from our harvest. But the scripture says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But how many of you know that if we keep our eyes on Jesus, we keep our trust in Jesus, we stay in tune to the Spirit, we stay in the house and not out of the house, how many of you know that we are overcomers, that we are victorious in the mighty name of Jesus? We're coming to the end. Let me just say this, if you're writing notes, just write this down. It's a season to guard your heart. It's a season to guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. against what the enemy would want to sow in your heart, against discouragement. Don't let discouragement sidetrack you from the plan of God. Against distraction. Don't start following things that aren't God. Guard your heart. Guard where your heart goes. Against offense and unforgiveness. Don't get into battles with people. People aren't the enemy. It's a setup from the enemy. How many know we have to guard our heart? Wrong battles. Getting into wrong battles. Pursuing wrong battles. Fighting wrong battles on the wrong battlefront with the wrong weaponry. How many of you know that's a losing proposition? We have to guard our heart against criticism. We have to murmuring, complaining about my situation that I'm in and the way things are going. And while the foundation, you know, has anybody ever had anybody come in and do remodeling in your house? Has anybody ever had that happen? Let me see your hand. It is a mess. Listen, when the master builder is involved and he's digging up things and he's changing things, and how many of you know it can be a mess? And we can either remain thankful and grateful and walk in the Spirit, God help me, empower me, the fruit of the Spirit, or we can fall into murmuring and complaining and criticizing and judging. And how many of you know that if we do that, we begin to be disqualified from our inheritance? Everybody say, it's a season to guard our heart. Everybody say, we're in a good season. God is doing good things. How many of you are in faith? How many of you are thankful for Crossroads? Every time one appears, we get to make a choice to follow God. Every time the Holy Spirit pinpoints something in our lives, we get to say, I surrender. Yes, God, that hurts. Open me up. Take it out. Do whatever you need. Operate on me. Everybody say, operate on me, Holy Spirit. I want to be cut back. How many wants to be cut back? I was doing that 2 days ago. I was out there pruning my bushes in my flower bed. It was a lot of work because I have these kind right here. You know? But things have to be cut back so that they can become what? More fruitful. Amen.